Oh, well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sandy W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 12th, and we are reading from the Big Book as we always do. Lucky us. We are on page 70. We will be reading the first paragraph, which begins, "Suppose we fall short." And today's readers are, we have Rhonda R. for the 12 steps, Terry H. for the 12 traditions. Then the readers of our text are Barbara W. will be reading that paragraph on page 70. Kara L. will finish us out on page 164. And we've got Shelley E. in the background as our backup reader. And then for newcomer greeter, we'll have Lorraine N. and announcements will be Leslie M. And thank you all in advance for that beautiful service. The reference numbers. Okay, so the reference number for yesterday, Sunday, July 11th, the special edition, is 17,329. And then the reference number for the earlier meeting today, Monday, July 12th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,334. 17334. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, so now I am going to ask Rhonda R. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Rhonda R., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people
Rhonda,
wherever.
Did we lose you on number on step eight? Am I being heard?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Sandy, can you hear me?
Rhonda,
you can be heard.
I can hear you. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, We try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda R. Thanks so much for doing that service for us. Okay, so now I will ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in a group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve today. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Terry H. Thanks so much for reading our 12 traditions for us. Okay, so how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will say time when those 3 minutes are up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. So our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, you'll let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we resume our study in the Big Book. Again, we are on page 70. We read one paragraph, just that first paragraph, which begins, suppose we fall short. And now I'm going to ask Barbara W. to begin by reading that for us. Good morning, Barbara.
Thank you so much. Barbara W. here from Washington State. Well, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we're going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we're sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and we'll have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not These are facts out of our experience. I'm Barbara W., and recovered compulsive overeater 14 months abstinent. Oh, boy. There's a lot in this paragraph. The part that jumped out to me says, if we are sorry for what we have done and have that honest desire to let God take us to better things. I was married twice. In fact, my first husband just died 2 weeks ago. And I never, in either marriage, stepped outside of marriage for a relationship. For that, I am extremely grateful. I was zoned in on, as a child, you just didn't do that, honey. You just didn't do that outside of marriage. And it stuck. I'm grateful for that. But I do remember my second marriage, which was not a healthy one. It was not on the rebound. It was just, I was lonesome and I wanted somebody there, I guess. But what bothered me is that it didn't, what was I, in my late 30s? I wasn't protecting myself against, you know, getting pregnant. And my gratitude is that I never did. And that husband has long since deceased as well. And I'm grateful. I don't know if I'm the best person to talk about this paragraph, but I did have sex between marriage, and I know that. I distinctly remember one, I guess, that scared the living daylights out of me. I was at a dance and went home with this fellow, and we're sitting in the car, and he pulls out a little miniature handgun. Says, I'd use this to protect people from you, you know, you, so you're safe. And I went, oh. And I did end up having sex with him, and I think it was out of fear. Was that man going to use it on me or something? And that would be something I was very sorry for. Why I didn't call the police is beyond me. I could have with my, I did have a cell phone at that time. So I guess I've said all I need to say. I have other things that within this frame of reference that I was probably not thinking when I did it.
Time.
And I know, just a bit naive. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Oh, thank you, Barbara W. Thanks so much for reading for us and for your share. We appreciate your service. So now, although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others get a chance to share their experience too. So I'm going to take a list, and if you'll give me your name and the first initial of your last name, we'll get your location along the way. So who would like to comment on the paragraph that we read today?
Sylvia F.
Sylvia.
Amaral Z.
I think there was two names that came in, and I didn't get either one. Try again.
Tamara.
Annabelle.
E. Okay.
Annabelle.
I got Annabelle, and then was it Camera or Tamara?
Camera. Mm-hmm.
Camera. Okay, great. Okay, so I've got Sylvia, Camera, and Annabelle. Who else wants to comment on that paragraph? We can start with the three of you. I think I'm going to need some last initials and locations, but we'll get those along the way. So Sylvia S., followed by Camera and Annabelle. Sylvia, go right ahead and give us your location if you'd like. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sylvia F., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I have now relocated to Portland, Oregon. I've been from California. It's all new territory for me. Very happy to be with all of you. This paragraph, you know, the whole section on sex, the way I go through it is I apply it to whatever is going on in life. It's whatever those rules are and whatever those steps are, whatever the inventory is, we also apply it to sex. And so in that paragraph, what came to mind is that if I make a mistake, I'm going to be okay if I immediately acknowledge my mistake and I take whatever steps I need to clear it up, whether I apologize, I have to make amends, I have to go to God, whatever I do, then I'm going to be okay. But what I have experienced is that if I harm someone by dishonesty or some kind of action or inaction, if I don't clear that up, what I feel is, but I don't have to share it with anyone, what I will feel is shame. I will maybe feel embarrassment. I will feel a lot of emotions, and I might not even be aware of exactly what those emotions are without doing that inventory. But what it feels like is not wanting to be me, wanting to run out of my body. And so that is what takes me back into my compulsion, those feelings. So I think that the message here is that we keep ourselves clear with ourselves, our sponsor, and God in everything, and we take those actions to stay clear. Who does God want me to be? Who does God want me to, what does God want me to do? That's a clarity of like spirit and soul where I can live with myself. And before I had program, I didn't know what that felt like, and I didn't know how to do it. When I came into program, and I heard this thing called, you know, they described the hole in the soul, I realized afterwards when it healed that that's what I'd had. And these steps tell me how to clear that up. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Sylvia F. from now from Oregon. Thanks so much for sharing. Okay, so next up we will have Camera followed by Annabelle. Camera, I just need your last initial and your location, please.
Good morning, it's Tamara C. from California. Okay, this is a very relevant paragraph for me, for what has been coming up for me in 10 steps and talking with my sponsor, but I'm a little uncomfortable talking about it because this idea of falling short is uncomfortable for me. Yeah, the first word gets me. Suppose we fall short. Suppose I fall short, as if there's some chance that I'm not going to fall short. And so what I'm learning through this specific part of the inventory, doing it in my fourth step, and as I continue to use this inventory, this relationship conduct inventory in my step 10s, I'm learning that, well, I fall short. What? I will fall short. I'm learning to accept that I am not God. I'm a human being and I do harm. And that's been really hard for me for some reason I'm learning. I'm uncovering why that's just been really hard for me. I have this old idea that I'm not allowed to fall short. I'm not allowed to do harm. And so I'm learning that I am allowed, that I'm not God, I'm human. This has been coming up in my working with others, trying to guide people and sponsor people, and seeing that I'm so afraid of falling short. And my sponsor is helping me see that then I'm playing God. I think that I'm supposed to be super sponsor, she called it. And I'm not seeing that sometimes I'll be inspired and sometimes I'll be absurd, and that I'm not God. I get to show up as me. I'm meant to be me. And so when I do harm, I'm so grateful for the steps that the spiritual action that I can take that will break that cycle from doing harm to taking the first compulsive bite. If I have an honest desire and I show that in my willingness to do inventory, go to God, ask God to show me a better way, and I make amends. I have my ideals in my relationships, and I'm human, and I fall short, and then I take action, and I grow. And it's really such a beautiful gift, and I get to fall short, and I get to be human, I get to be me, and just keep growing, just keep going to God. Thank you, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Tamara C. from California. Thanks so much for your share. So now we'll have Annabelle. And Annabelle, I just need your last initial and location, and then I'll be able to take some more names. Annabelle, go right ahead. Good morning. Annabelle, we're not hearing you. You may need to press star one again to unmute.
Yes, good morning. Sorry, my name is Annabelle Z, and I am in Washington. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. And what's your last initial? Oh, V as in Victor?
Z as in zebra.
Z. Okay, got it, Annabelle. Yes, go right ahead. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks for your service. When I was young, I was sexually assaulted, and I took that baggage into my marriage, and it seemed before that I had relatively healthy composure in my sexuality as I grew up in my teen years. But after that episode, I ate to gain weight, literally to have that protection. And I heard that the other day on the line, and that was absolutely my experience. If I was overweight, men wouldn't look at me, and I felt like every eye on me was an invasion into my soul. And it was a hyperreactive post-traumatic response. It's actually quite normal, I've come to find out. And but over the years, losing weight regained that attention, but I controlled it. And my controlling behavior was really what was brought into my marriage. And so when I did the sex ideal in the first really thorough four-step I did in my 20s, it was I learned that the sex ideal is the absolute opposite of the set of what I did that was harmful. So if my behavior was not being honest with myself about how I truly felt about a guy before I went out with them, then my sex ideal was to always check my motives, always check how I felt about the person. And it resulted, my fear is that it would result in total rejection and being alone. But what it resulted in was healthier boundaries that I didn't know previously how to set at all. But the baggage I took into my marriage was that you won't harm me, and so I'm gonna control you to make sure you don't harm me. No longer wanting the weight to not get the attention, I demanded certain ways of acting. And so after really long program, my husband found out was addicted to pornography, and I forgave him, but he continued to act that way. And it was until 10 years of healing, finally come to be able to trust him. And therefore, I've been able to, and it's been on both parts, right? I've also had to conduct myself in a way that doesn't harm him, like belittling and not trusting. And he's my partner in marriage for life. And so I have to continue to have a motive of trusting God, cleaning house, and helping others. And that help and that support as a spouse is to continually forgive their piece. And like someone said, you know, ask for forgiveness when I go back into my behavior that seems to be natural as an addict, you know. So I can ask for what I need safely. And if it's unsafe, I go to God for my recognition and value and self-worth, as opposed to going to, a place where it's not coming from them. I also, sexuality is a big thing as far as control. Okay, I was going to say elsewhere, but, you know, with jobs and things like that. But that is another story. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Annabelle Z from Washington. Very much appreciate your share. So again, we are on page 70. We read the first paragraph, which begins, suppose we fall short. And although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that everyone gets a chance to share their experience too. So who else wants to share today?
Hi, Lori J.
Larry G. from Jay. California.
Lori and Mary. Leslie.
Jordan.
Jordan. And then I think I heard another name with Jordan.
Deborah G.
Deborah. Okay.
Thank you, honey.
Okay, well, that's a great lineup. So we've got Lori J., Larry G., Leslie W., Jordan L., and Deborah G. Somehow I got all the last initials this time. We'll see if they're right. And if you want to just give us your location as we go along. And if you're not Lori J., please go ahead and make sure you're remuted. Otherwise, Lori, go right ahead with your share. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Lori J. from New York City. I'm very gratefully recovered for today, not cured. And I'm a little terrified doing this, having only shared once before, but hearing another speaker talk about the idea of falling short made me reread this paragraph, and the words that jumped out at me this time were chosen ideal, that we've had the opportunity to create an ideal of what we want our sex relationships and our partnerships to be, and the word ideal to me says that is my goal. That's something I'm striving for, and it's not something that I'm necessarily currently living in every day at the moment. And I know that as long as I continue striving for the ideal, then I'm living in the next right action. When I fall short of an ideal, I'm able to remind myself these days that I'm working toward bettering myself. I'm working toward bettering my relationships with my loved ones. I'm trying to turn over and give up those defects that have caused me to stumble and be blocked. And it's a journey. It's not all going to come all at once. And as long as I recognize the mistakes I've made in striving for that ideal and try to change them or ask God to help me try to change them, that I'm still on the right path. I have to believe that as long as I'm trying to live toward that ideal, God will forgive me in any mistakes I make. And he'll see, or they will see, that striving as my best effort. I'm starting to lose my train of thought, so I'm going to pass. But thank you all for letting me share, and thank you all for your service on this line today.
Oh, thank you, Lori J. from New York. We're glad you conquered that fear and went and shared with us. We appreciate it. So next up is Larry G., followed by Leslie W. Larry, good morning, and if you want to give us your location.
Good morning. I'm from California, and my name's Larry G. And first of all, I want to thank all the women in A Vision for You who accepted my call, who have trusted me to be a honorable sober man, who have taken my 10 steps, because after this last week, we can hear, there's a lot of pain, that's been created in our lives around sex. This has been an fabulous week or two. I don't know how long we've been looking at the sexual inventory and listening to other people's perspective on it. It's been really a great experience. And I asked myself, how in the world could I have had a healthy relationship in the past? We're talking about sex relations, not only the actual physical act and romantic relationship, but also just a relationship with another human being, if I'm in the food or alcohol or money and I'm recovered in all three of those areas. All three of those areas will get in the way of me having a healthy connection with another human being. In the end, before I got into Vision for You, I couldn't stop eating. And I don't know about other people on this call, but for me, when I was in the food, I wanted nothing to do with anybody. I was either coming out of a food drunk, where it would take me 4 or 5 days of frothy emotional keel, that this was going to be different, only to cycle back. I thought the only relief from my problems, my anxieties, was to compulsively. I now know that that had nothing to do with it. I am a food drunk, and I am an addict around food. And when I was in that space, I didn't want anything to do with anybody. I didn't want to go to meetings. I didn't want to answer the call. I didn't want to have anything to do with my wife, especially when I was in a food coma. And today, my mind is being healed. I'm just a baby. I'm in my second year. I've been eating like this since I was age four. Age four, I've turned to food. And it's going to take a long time for me to develop and heal my brain. So the first thought will not be to have extra food if I'm full of anxiety. And so it's taking me time, and I'm learning to establish new boundaries. I just reconnected with a childhood friend, and he was pulling the same bullshit he always pulled. And I don't know where it came from, but I just said, hey, I'm not interested. I'm going to do it this way. That, to me, is recovery, the gift of recovery in Overeaters Anonymous. And again, I really enjoyed this last week or two. I've enjoyed all your shares. It's been inspirational, and I'm out. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Larry G. from California. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Okay, so next up we have Leslie W. followed by Jordan L. Leslie, if you want to give us your location, then go right ahead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. It's Leslie W. calling from Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I wanted to share about this paragraph because this is something that I have struggled in with my marriage. And I've been married for almost 20 years now. And I've been in this program for almost 10, but only been abstinent for 5 of those years. And I did a lot of damage in this area with my husband. And I too had difficulty when I first read this paragraph. It says, if we are sorry for what we have done, if we are not sorry, if we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and will have learned our lesson. excuse me. That phrase, learned our lesson, I didn't like it because for some reason it took me back to like when I was, 12 years old in Sunday school class, and somebody wagged their finger at me and said, now Leslie, be a good girl. There was just this defiance, right, that rose up in me when I read this paragraph at first. But today, and that's just ego. Ego that tells me I'm not supposed to make a mistake. Ego that tells me I have to be perfect. Ego that tells me that I'm God. All of that is false. All of that is false. But somewhere along the way in my upbringing, I got the message that I was supposed to be perfect and do everything right all the time. And there was no room for error. But if there's no error, then how am I supposed to learn? Otherwise, I'm just a big hypocrite and faking it and ignoring the issue, which is what I did. I ignored the fact that I emasculated my husband in this area, that I shut down, that I was not available to him in this way. And so, it takes a lot of courage to face that, but it takes recovery and it takes humility. And, I can honestly say that today I can face up to it when I mess up. I can apologize to my husband when I when I choose to retreat instead of be available to him. And thank God it has improved. I mean, it really has. I mean, God has worked a miracle in my marriage. And I really attribute it all to this program and my willingness to keep showing up and learning from my mistakes. So with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Thanks so much for sharing with us. So next up, we have Jordan L., followed by Deborah G. Jordan, if you want to give us your location, then go right ahead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado this morning, and every morning, I guess. And grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with all of you. This paragraph is, it's the first time, as far as I can tell, I'm definitely, there's others on this line, I'm sure, that are more of a big book expert than I am. But I think that this paragraph is the first time that the big book mentions forgiveness, which is an interesting concept, or at least it was for me. I didn't get it. I'm someone who, I don't know. I think forgiveness is like like something we learn, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we learn to forgive or we learn to punish. And the behavior that I learned was to punish. I didn't get forgiveness. I didn't really understand how that worked. So my sex relations were a mess and still are on some days. Like, I'll be real honest about that. But this paragraph, it describes this this thing that I'm learning when I come in here, you know, and it's talking about it around, like, it's talking about forgiveness around sex conduct for sure, and it's been discussed too that, like, these paragraphs, if you're not in a sexual relationship, these paragraphs can be applied to other relationships as well. That's my experience for sure. But it's my experience too that these paragraphs can actually be applied to like the relationship that I have with myself. And it's funny because my conduct is actually a reflection of that. You know what I mean? My conduct or behavior is like a reflection of the relationship that I have with myself. And so like one of my big behaviors that I had to at least begin to let go of when I got here was isolation. Compulsive overeating and isolation went hand in hand for me. I still don't know, like, which is the chicken and the egg, which comes first, how that all works, like whether one leads to the other or this one leads to that one. Like, as far as I can tell, they lead to each other. Each one leads to the other, and that's how that goes. I started to, as soon as I got here, someone pointed this paragraph out to me really early on in working the steps, and I started to apply this to that isolative behavior. And I started to, like, learn this self-forgiveness thing. It's the reason I'm here today, because I screw up a lot. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. That's all I got. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Okay, so next up is Deborah G., and then we'll have time for a few more shares. Deborah, just give us your location and then go right ahead. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for being of service, chairing, and all those that have made this meeting possible. I'm Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Arizona, and thank you all for your shares. It's just been really enlightening to continue to be awakened to this and to that place of forgiveness for myself that comes when I see my behavior and have remorse and come from my heart. Come from my heart, from what that behavior has affected with other people, how that character default obstacle has affected another person. And then in doing that, I can also forgive myself. That's what I learned about those amends. And then, having remorse about it and not wanting, that not wanting to do it again, but giving it to that loving presence in my life to do with me as will. And then going about my day and realizing I'm not perfect, and that I have a sex ideal. This last time I went through the steps that I can look at to have something that I want to do, how I want to be, how I want to be with others, how I want to be sexually. It's so beautiful out of a process of doing this, how things evolve. And I'm just really grateful for this program. And because of doing this work and because of this experience, I don't want to go to the food or drink. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Thanks very much for sharing with us. Okay, so we should have time for probably two or three more shares. Again, from page 70, the first paragraph, suppose we fall short and we value everyone's experience, we just ask that we all limit our shares to every third day so everyone gets a chance. So who else wants to comment on that paragraph?
Kathleen W.
Kathleen? Who wants to join Kathleen for these last few minutes? Well, Kathleen, why don't you go ahead and we'll
Georgie.
See if, I'm sorry, say that name again.
Georgie.
No.
George E. Okay, great. Okay, got you, George. Okay, let's go with Kathleen and George, and we'll see what time is left. Kathleen W., if you want to just give us your location, then go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, is this Kathleen?
Yes, Kathleen. I'm in Illinois. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And, I have not come to this meeting for almost 3 weeks to a month until just recently. Due to my schedule and then my work schedule and vacationing. And so I just did not come to the meeting. And, I certainly need it. So I loved today that isolation in a relationship is isolation and relationship and forgiveness. I really was so glad that that was spoken about today because I just realized, after not going to a meeting and just my head all in my work and all in my vacation, how isolated I've been from the fellowship. And I need the fellowship like I need God. I need two things in life. I need God and I need the fellowship. And the isolation, my isolation just kicked in after not going to the meetings for a while. And I talked to my sponsor about it recently. And then, I prayed about it. I said, God, forgive me for this isolation. I saw it as a character defect. It's like my default, And it plays, and I'm looking at it, and it plays in all of my relationships. I kind of lean out of relationships to a degree rather than leaning into them. And so
I was glad to hear today, after I said that prayer, you know, God, forgive me for the isolation. I'm powerless over it. Please help me, you know, to do whatever, take whatever actions I need to take, and just remove it from me. And I just heard from another person about, you know, being forgiven for this, and I'm just saying, thank you, God, you know, help me. And I know this is going to change my relationships all around, you know, as I come out of this isolation. I don't know what it looks like to be completely free from that character defect, but I have hope today after listening to all of the shares that, you know, there is forgiveness for these things. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful to be back. Thanks a lot for letting me share. I'm passed with that.
We're grateful for your share, Kathleen W. from Illinois. It's great to have you back. Okay, and then I believe I heard George E. Please correct me if that's wrong, and if you want to give us your location, then go right ahead. Good morning.
I'm George E. in Ohio, Pulse of Eater. Can I be heard?
Yes, perfectly.
Hello?
Thanks.
Yeah, this paragraph has always kind of mystified me a little bit, because even though it's embedded, I tend to be more of a big book person too. You know, I would have told you, first of all, I never would have shared on this when I started 12-step work. I mean, I just found the whole topic so embarrassing and I've been married one time, and, you know, but I guess I was caught by the words chosen ideal, like right from the beginning. And I probably would have said something different then than I would say now. I would say now that I never chose the ideal. You know, it was never my choice. But that's probably more me playing the victim. You know, I always tried to do what other people wanted, because I thought, you know, that's what it would take to make them like me, that kind of thing. And, you know, I started compulsive eating at such a young age. It's hard for me to even imagine sex with eating, with, you know, abstinence in the picture. You know, I'd been abusing food, you know, for so long and so hard that I guess I wasn't even sure what it had to do with sex. You know, that might sound a little self-serving, but you know, the eighth step is about relations. So I guess I was trying to understand what happened earlier in the talk about something happened when we were reading the eighth step. And but when I read this, it says to me, if we're sorry for what we've done, I guess that implies that I've done a really, really good inventory in this area. And I'm not sure I have. We call it a conduct inventory. You know, I did the best I could with it. I think that's a lot of what the program is. A lot of it's just having faith and taking a step and then, you know, moving on. You know, moving on to the 8 to 9 steps, whatever those look like for you. And so I guess that's what chosen ideal really means. You know, what is your future life going to look like for you? And not for me, you know, because, you know, to me, I hate to say this, but I think, you know, sex is kind of a thing of the past. You know, it's just not in the cards, so to speak. So thanks for letting me share, and I've heard a lot of good stuff today, and I really like this format, so I think I'll keep coming back. I pass.
Thank you, George E. from Ohio. We hope you will keep coming back. Thanks for sharing. So we've got just under a minute, if anybody wants it quickly.
Elaine S., Tennessee.
Okay, Elaine S., go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Elaine S., recovered in Tennessee. Just real quick, what jumped out to me in this paragraph is the need to stay teachable and to be willing to change. Because we read, it said if we're not repentant, if we don't change, they're going to drink. And it's a fact from their experience. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know that I can survive another relapse. And this just reminded me of each day being willing to be teachable, being willing to see what is going on, how I'm acting, the actions I'm taking, and do they line up to the ideal that I've set. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Elaine S. from Tennessee. You will be our last share, and we appreciate you closing up the sharing portion of the meeting. And now we will close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.